If you turn south onto US 1 anywhere along the eastern seaboard and drive all the way to the end, you'll find yourself in Key West, Florida. For decades, the island has an end-of-the-road reputation that's attracted artists and eccentrics of all stripes. As NPR's Ari Shapiro reports, Key West is increasingly attracting a more mainstream crowd.
Tabitha Myers and her friends from the University of Central Florida have done spring break in Pensacola, Daytona, and other Florida hotspots. This year, they opted for someplace different, Key West. Myers' reason was simple.
Because Daytona's gay.
It's funny she should say that, because Key West, not Daytona, was historically the playground for Truman Capote, Tennessee Williams, and other gay celebrities. But to Myers and her friends, that history's not so important. What is important is that this island is a beautiful tropical getaway, packed with bars and college kids. It's an attitude that locals are getting used to.
And the mystique and charm is vanishing as we speak.
Robin Scott is having an after-work beer at the Green Parrot, a local bar that somehow managed to span the divide between old and new Key West. Scott is solidly the former. He sees longtime friends cashing out and leaving for the mainland, and in their place, the streets have filled up with cruise ship passengers, spring breakers, and wealthy snowbirds. Scott says he can understand the departing locals.
Your father drove a truck. He worked for the sanitation department. Your grandfather was a fisherman. And all of a sudden now, their house that their grandfather paid $15,000 for, 80 years ago, is now worth $1 million, man. What are you going to do?
He doesn't blame the new arrivals either. Scott says if he lived in New York with a few million dollars to spare, he'd probably winter in Key West, too. But few people deny that the new residents and visitors are changing the flavor of the island. Feral chickens still roam the streets of old Key West. Duval Street is the main thoroughfare here. When the restaurant and cabaret La Tida opened here in the 70s, it was a very different scene, says manager Rusty Rhodes.
To the right was an empty lot. The people left abandoned cars and junk cars right next door. Across the street was a mechanic or tire shop. And right next to that was Anna's Whorehouse. You know, it's changed a great deal.
Change is particularly visible at the Sunset Celebration, which has become a local phenomenon in Key West.
That's right, folks, real life sword swallowing, dumb stick comedy, dancing girls, free beer, false advertising.
Mallory Dock is crowded with performers, escape artists, tightrope walkers, and a man who calls himself the southernmost bagpiper in the continental United States. Tourist Rich Jordan takes a break from watching cats jump through hoops to mark the moment that the sun dips into the ocean. Jordan grew up in a fishing town in Maine, and he says he can sympathize with the plight of locals here.
It's the same thing we face at fishing villages in Maine. We don't really do what we used to do for a living, so now it's all about keeping people here in a tourism light.
People who were born and raised here are known as conks. Jimmy Weekly is a third-generation conk and the mayor of Key West. Weekly notes that the island has been recognized nationally for its historic preservation efforts. The old wooden architecture remains intact, and First Lady Laura Bush recently named Key West one of 8 national Preserve America communities. Still, Weekly says, change is inevitable.
People that came here in the 50s would like to see Key West the way it was in the 50s and 60s, and people that came here in the 70s would like to see it the way it was then. And people that are coming here today, in 10 years, they're going to say, gee, we wish Key West was the way it was 10 years ago when we first came here. I don't see, other than the growth of our economy and the success of Key West as a destination, if you really look on the core of Key West, that has not changed.
The island has come up with some innovative ways to mitigate the effect that visitors and newcomers have on the island. At 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, a small group of spring breakers are walking along the beach. The girls are wearing short shorts, designer sunglasses, and bright orange shirts that say Monroe County Jail. Kirstie Lepsig of Greenville, North Carolina, is serving her time after being called before spring break court.
I had a fake ID and I showed it to the bouncer.
Spring break court is a program where underage drinkers do 8 hours of community service as punishment for their crimes. Lepsig and her crew are picking up trash.
I'm just hoping that my friends don't see me right now. I'm just praying.
There's a certain elegance to the program's design. Spring breakers end up preserving the quality of life on the island that they're visiting. author William Wright has lived on Key West since the late 70s. Sitting by the waterfall at the end of his swimming pool, he muses that there are some advantages to Key West's evolution, but he worries that the island may be becoming a tropical Nantucket with a butler behind every polished brass doorknob.
I think it'll always have a certain patina of, old Florida, old something, but I think the wildness has gone out. The only craziness now are the spring breakers and the wet t-shirt contests and stuff like that.
Then he pauses. Perhaps it's not that the wildness has gone out, he says. It's just that it's unimaginative wildness now. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.